Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, as ever, here with a wonderful source brought to us by Justin today, by the wonderful Joanna Macy from her book, World as Love, A World as Self. And I'm really excited to read this, Justin, with you and to see where it takes us. But before we get going, I wanted to say that it is the end of June 2025. And Justin has just expertly, technically sent out an email inviting everybody to join us for Turning Towards Life Live. And if you don't receive any of our emails, you're not on any of our mailing lists, you can go to www.turningtowards.life/live. That's www.turningtowards.life/live. And you can learn about this thing that we're going to do where we're going to gather monthly for 3 hours. And to be in this Turning Towards Life practice together. And we would so love you to join us. So that is a very exciting thing that we've been plotting for a very good while, Justin. And I'm so excited that we've got going. And thank you for all your work to make that happen and to be the person who can twiddle with the buttons in the background to actually have things be clickable, honourable. It's really quite wonderful. So with that, I'm going to have us begin, Justin, and thank you for bringing this extraordinary source, which, by the way, arrived, as you know, in a moment of me grappling with the nature of gratitude in my own life. So I'm so happy to be in this particular conversation with you today.
Yes, it's very good to be in this conversation. Hello, Lizzie. Hello, everyone. I just want to add to what you said, as we're so excited about Turning Towards Life Live. The subtitle is Seasonal Circles of Reflection, Community and Practice. And I think it's just worth saying for a moment, Lizzie, that this practice that you and I have been in for all of these years, this is our 403rd conversation of taking a source, taking something that somebody else has written, or maybe something that we've written, and putting it in the center between us, and then having the conversation be a three-way conversation between the self that you are and the self that I am and the self that the source is and the self of the person who wrote it. Mm. And then allowing that to be alive between us is a practice that comes from more than one spiritual tradition, developmental tradition. And we've taken it up for nearly eight years already, and it's been extraordinarily life-giving for us. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing with Turning Towards Life Live. So I'm just saying this to everyone who's with us, that if you something happens for you when you listen to this conversation, this is an opportunity to be part of a community of people who will be practicing this monthly with all kinds of resource to help you practice and be in connection in between. So you could think of it like a six-month arc of your own inquiry and practice and development and community, which are all things that we are very dedicated to. So there's lots to see at Turning Towards Life, turningtowards.life/live, all of the details. But I thought it was good to flesh it out a little bit, Lizzie, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more as we get closer to it as well. So now this source, you can always find the source at turningtowards.life, also in the show notes. It's on gratitude from Joanna Macy, as you say, Lizzie. And the other thing to say about it before we begin is this is also a piece of text that is in the notes for the first four-day session of our year-long professional coaching course, which we just began this weekend. So you and I, Lizzie, are doing this on a Monday, having gone through the delights and joys and wrangle of an intense and very life-filled and real weekend with a new group of people. And I want to dedicate this to them. All of you who are in that group and them. Partly also because this conversation about what is it to stand in some form of gratitude as a basis for our bringing ourselves to the world is really a conversation that's a big part of the background of that program. And so I feel like I'm talking to you and we're talking to them and we're talking to all of you who are with us as we take this up. So it begins like this with a quote from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. Just to live is holy. To be is a blessing. And then Joanna Macy writes, we have received an inestimable gift. To be alive in this beautiful self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourishment from it, is a wonder beyond words. Gratitude quiets the frantic mind and brings us back to source. It reconnects us with basic goodness and our personal power. It helps us to be more fully present to our world. That grounded present provides the psychic space for acknowledging the pain we carry for our world. We begin to know the immensity of our heart mind and how it helps us move beyond fear. The truth of our interexistence made real to us by our pain for the world helps us see with new eyes. It brings fresh understandings of who we are and how we're related to each other and the universe. We begin to comprehend our own power to change and heal. We strengthen by growing living connections with past and future generations and our brother and sister species. And then ever again, we go forth into the action that calls us. Even when we don't succeed in a given venture, we can be grateful for the chance we took and the lessons we learned, and the spiral begins again.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Joanna. Just to live is holy. To be is a blessing. That's what Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel says. And Joanna says, we have received an inestimable gift. To be alive in this beautiful, self-organizing universe. To participate in the dance of life, with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourishment from it, is a wonder beyond words. Gratitude quiets the frantic mind and brings us back to source. It reconnects us with basic goodness and our personal power. It helps us to be more fully present to our world. That grounded present provides the psychic space for acknowledging the pain we carry for our world. We begin to know the immensity of our heart mind and how it helps us move beyond fear. The truth of our interexistence made real to us by our pain for the world helps us see with new eyes. It brings fresh understandings of who we are and how we are related to each other and the universe. We begin to comprehend our own power to change and heal. We strengthen by growing living connections with past and future generations and our brother and sister species. Then, ever again, we go forth into the action that calls us. Even when we don't succeed in a given venture, we can be grateful for the chance we took and the lessons we learned. And the spiral begins again.
Thank you, Lucy. So I think this is a conversation about mood. Is what I think it is. And I mean mood in the way that you'll understand already, Lizzie, as in the background, like the background orientation we have to life that maybe we can't always see because we're swimming in the midst of it, like the eyes with which we look out at the world. And I'm very appreciative as a starting point for the nuance in Joanna's writing, because I think that there's a way in a world which is filled with trouble and filled with pain, as well as many other things, but where very often we feel our own pain and we feel the troubles of the world. There's a way in which it's easy to latch onto a really shallow version of gratitude, which is, because it's painful to be a person, I'd better be happy and grateful. I'm grateful for all the things that are happening, even if they're terrible, but I should be grateful. Very seductive and very simplistic story. And of course, there's no end of people who'll tell us, well, that's how they live. You know, I'm just grateful all the time. And because of that shallow story about gratitude, we can easily then dismiss gratitude as if it was some kind of shallow pursuit. And we all ought to feel, I don't know, sad all the time, or angry all the time, or despairing all the time, or resigned all the time. And Joanna's laid out a story about gratitude, which is mood, not feeling. So it's not the feeling of feeling happy or feeling sad or something. It's the orientation that the reason to get up to anything in the world, the reason to make things better, the reason to take care of one another, the reason to stand up for things, the reason to say no to things and yes to things and to invest ourselves in the world is because being here at all is an absolute and incredibly unlikely, marvelous miracle. Like, it seems to me that in order to want to make things better, in order to want to contribute, you have to start from a place that says there's something worth, there is already something of value here. Like underneath, the world is not some, the universe is not some cold, empty disaster just waiting to crush us, but is an unfolding miracle in which we participate. And my goodness, how unlikely it is that I'm here. So I'm very moved by this line that begins to say, we have received an inestimable, which neither of us can say it, an inestimable gift. That I have breath and I have life and I can sit with you, Lizzie, and we have language and mutual care and sentience, consciousness. Oh my goodness, let's use it for something. And I know that the times when I have most wanted to withdraw from the world is the times when I lose contact with this kind of mood of gratitude. So when I lose contact with life, of course, what I want to do is either I want to withdraw or sometimes I just want to destroy everything. You know, I'm just like, oh, let's. The kind of principled action taking that takes care of life itself is what's called for now. And in order to do that, we have to feel a great kind of love and appreciation and wonder at life itself. And that's what gratitude is I didn't even ask for it. I've got given all of this. Now what am I going to do with what I've got? And last thing to say is, because I know from Joanna's writing, this isn't about privilege or position, or this isn't about being grateful for all the ways I've got power and all the ways I've got status and all the kinds of safety I have. It's gratitude for something else that Joanna's pointing to, which is sort of, in a way, it's behind and beyond any particular circumstance, is I have eyes and ears and heart and legs and language and capacity, and now what?
It's so beautiful to feel all of this, Justin. And what's coming to me is that, like, there's a way of, I think Justin, a big thing about Joanna's work is that it's a circle of activism in a way. And there's so many different ways to talk about what activism is. And, you know, you're always such a beautiful advocate for taking action, and the way we act is really, really important. And it feels to me, as we're reading this, that there's a way to be an activist that doesn't come from this place, which in some way maybe perpetuates the thing that was wrong in the first place, because it doesn't come from a place of peace, essentially, or a place of this kind of gratitude that you're talking about. So when I'm in touch with the thing in a spiritual way or a heartfelt way that I'm trying to save, and I cultivate my environment, my mood of gentleness and gratitude, and that's the background to my action. That's the background to the things that I want to bring about in the world to facilitate change. It's very different than when I'm coming at it with a kind of violence or a kind of judgment or a kind of harshness inside of me. And so I'm kind of feeling this, the power of coming at activism from a place of genuine, powerful gratitude that's different to something that's kind of aggressive and righteous or something, and how that brings about a wholly different world, because it doesn't create issues as you're going along relationally in the same way. So I'm just remembering somebody I spoke to, they were in an environmental organization which had an incredible mission. And the person just couldn't stay there because of how people treated one another inside of it. So that this background spiritual practice of gratitude didn't have a home there meant that it was a toxic environment, even though its mission was really, really, really solid and really important for our world. So when those things get undermined by kind of like almost interpersonal violence that's there because there isn't a sense of background spiritual work happening or gratitude practice or joining together and feeling in our hearts what, with gentleness and power, what is to be saved or what is to be done and for the sake of what, we sadly create new problems. And so I'm feeling this big appreciation for Joanna's really beautiful, solid line that she holds, that all of this activism must come from the depths of our consciousness, the depths of our contact with ourselves and one another and relatedness and being together. I know that she just always calls people together and our togetherness and feeling this heart of us and feeling this, what comes when we are together, this grounded presence that provides the psychic space for acknowledging the pain that we carry is very different than sitting in on your own in your living room watching the news, fretting and catastrophizing. What is happening, yes, is happening. And the way that we are in relationship to what's happening can be diminishing so that we can't take any action. We just stay on the sofa. But when we gather and join ourselves together and create this psychic space for acknowledging this pain that we're carrying, because we love the world. Humans love the place they come from. We love this place. And I'm so grateful that Joanna takes this stand, and I'm sure many others do too, Justin, if we gather and we join and we feel our hearts and what it's all for. And then we can take action from a very different place inside of us.
I'm very mindful, Lizzie, that Joanna is not bringing us here the shallow versions of gratitude that would have us tune out.
Yeah.
So it's a one version of gratitude that we can, shallow version that we can fall into as well. I ought to feel grateful for whatever I have, the particular circumstances of my life, even if that involves violence or abuse or suffering or loss, or I ought to feel grateful for every part of it, no matter what. And there are things in the world that need changing. Like, it's too simple just to go, well, to take gratitude as a kind of, you know, for some of us, it can become a kind of numbing or comfort blanket. Like, I'll tune out all the difficulty of the world. I'll just be grateful for it. And I'm glad that Joanna is sort of going underneath. It feels like she's going to sort of like the primordial source of things, is to say, no, actually, the stuff that we must change, we must. So let's not go to sleep to that. Let's not tune ourselves out of that. Let's not use gratitude in the way that sometimes people with power have used gratitude, which is, if I've got power and you don't, and I say to you, well, you should just be grateful for all the ways I'm using you, abusing you, but I'm also, you know, keeping you alive, whatever it is. It's not what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sort of a lot of contemporary gratitude practice misses this. You know, there's something lovely about the wake up in the morning and write down three things you're grateful for. Like, I get the good intent in that, because maybe I'll see something in my life that I didn't see before. Oh, my cat. Oh gosh, I'm really grateful I've got a cat and my cat lovely. Yes. But I think this is calling us to do something deeper, actually. I think it's calling for us to go and get our feet on the earth and to feel the bigness of the earth upon which we stand, and to go and look at the sky, maybe the sky at night, and to get the vastness of the cosmos in which gave birth to us. And I think it's asking us to feel the depths of history behind us and all the generations who came before, who very faithfully kept going, and we're here. Like, we didn't get interrupted, we're here. It needs us to to do that part of it. And then it also needs us to do something else, which is, I remember seeing an incredibly moving moment. There's a film by Terrence Malick called The Tree of Life, and it's got this very weird section suddenly appears early on where it moves from a family drama to the whole history of the planet, sort of suddenly goes back to the Big Bang. And about 7 or 8 minutes into that, there's this moment where you see the first beating hearts. You know, you see first single-celled life and then fish coming in, and they're beating hearts. And we have beating hearts and nervous systems that are kin to the first ones who had beating hearts and nervous systems billions of years ago. So when we feel inside our own bodies, we can feel that we're part of this unfolding gift. So in a way, I think what I'm learning from this conversation is that in order to be activists, in order to want to make things better in the world for ourselves and one another and for the world as a whole, we have to be able to sort of open really wide to what's around us, and also really helps to open deeply to what's inside us. And then to do what Abraham Joshua Heschel is saying and go, oh my goodness, it's a miracle. And I think that sometimes the action we have to take is forceful. You know, sometimes we have to make things stop in the world. Sometimes we have to make things start. Like, it's not necessarily, activism can be loud and activism can be gentle and loving. And I suppose I come back to your story about those places in the world where we're up to things that we care about but become poisonous. To see that when they become poisonous, it's clear that we've lost contact with something. And it's very possible to feel very righteous while causing more trouble in the world than we're solving, because we're coming at it from that. I'm going to be the savior place, or I'm doing it because I'm better than all of you place, or even I'm doing it because I'm much worse than all of you and I'm trying to prove how excellent I am, or whatever. None of them come from the requisite depth, which is always available to us. I mean, I think that's the thing. There's always the sky, and there's always the earth, and there's always our hearts, and there's always the eyes of another.
Somehow I'm really moved by this piece of the film you were talking about, where it moves from a family drama to the origin of hearts and nervous systems. And also what you said about the cat. I was thinking, where do we begin? And I don't know the answer to that, but it feels like maybe that the cat has just as much mysticism in it as a beating heart. And of course it has a beating heart too. But these, that somehow, like, what's close in, like you said, like the tree in our garden, could be a really good place to start. And that, you know, how we sometimes talk about the whole being in the parts. Like, where might we be able to feel this kind of wholeness that Joanna Macy is inviting us into, this self-organizing universe and the inestimable gift of being alive? It's in the tree and it's in the cat. And how do we make contact with it and be open and receiving of this, so that this underpinning mood, as you say, of gratitude? I'm curious about a mood being something that's built of many small things, and then suddenly the greater momentum kind of takes hold. Because to change a weather system, for example, feels like it's lots of little things that come together that make the big thing. Like, nothing's made of a big self in a way. It's like it's all little things adding up to something big. And of course, then there's also the big self, but I'm just feeling on a kind of human level, all of the little things that might contribute to a mood and a background of gratitude what are all the little things that make that up, and how do we take one step at a time and build a world that is in contact with itself? Like, how do I be in contact each and every time with the small things? Like just me being in contact with how you've got the email out to go to Turning Towards Life live for people. For me, that's like, it feels like a thing that gets brushed to the side because it's a technical thing and you just write some stuff and then press some buttons. And blah, blah, blah. I feel that inside of my mood of gratitude, just like, oh my goodness, that's even possible. Like that we're even here on this thing called Riverside, and that you managed to send me the text for today, and that there's this thing called a microphone that receives my voice, and then you can hear it, and then the world can hear it. Like, it's possible to start so close in, and for me, it kind of quickly tumbles into everything if I begin with something small. And then I read Joanna's words, and it's easier to receive them in all of their glory because I'm open because of the microphone kind of thing. So I'm feeling the bigness and the smallness all at once of what it means to feel like we're coming at the world from a sense of this inestimableness that breathes and is a wonder beyond words, and how it goes into all of the little tiny teensy things and is then the original beating heart and the cosmos and everything. And it's huge and teeny.
I'm glad you brought all that in. It's reminding me, Lizzie, that in my early 20s, I did a master's degree in computer networking. It was before the web was really a thing. That's how long ago it was. And there was a research group there who were trying to entice me to do a PhD, which I was a little bit interested in, didn't, which I'm glad because of how life turned out. But they were researching, can you send video over the internet? That was their project. Is it possible? And here we are now looking at one another and talking to one another. And it's partly because of their work, but it's also partly because of the work of thousands and thousands and thousands of others. But then all the people who build the devices that all connect together, and all the people who mine the materials that go into it, and all the people who know how to put it together and ship it, and that we have ships and that we have engines and that we have, you know, and so I think this thing about starting with what's here, like right here in our lives. And I think maybe that's the depth of gratitude practice that Joanna's, I've seen this from what you've said, is it's one thing to say, oh, I'm so grateful I got brought a cup of tea. But even more is, I'm so grateful there's a person to bring me a cup of tea, and all the history that brings a person, and that there are cups, and that there's tea, and that there's, so we can start anywhere. And then it makes sense what Joanna says. It brings us back to source. The point is to go back far enough that we can feel the depth and the origins of all of this, and then how unlikely it is and how vast it is. And you can do that from the cat or the cup of tea or the microphone in front of you or the person sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. That's what to do.
Yeah.
It's just more than just to say thanks for the thing. And then that's what does all the things that Joanna says. Quietens our franticness, brings us in contact with basic goodness and our personal power, and has us want to be more fully present to the world and to appreciate it and to repair it and improve it and fix it and take care of it. Yeah. So glad we've talked about this in this way. And it's also our time to end. So I'm just going to say thank you to you, Lizzie, and thank you, gratitude to you, gratitude for this, for all the people who are with us, for everything it took for all of this to happen. It's miraculous, mm-hmm. And for me, I can feel how that also spurs me on. And a reminder to everyone, if you want to be on our emails, go to turningtowards.life and sign up there, and you'll also get all the details of the grand plans we're hatching, and you can see whether you want to join us for those. And all being well, we will be back again, same time, same place, next week.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks everyone.